The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you, this is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all, this is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore, you've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
Yes, it is time to open. You are listening to Waking Up in America, radio magazine, dynamic radio dialogues on life today in America, brought to you by Bragg, BRAGG.com, Happily 200, The Koning Company, DrVal.com, and Doctor is all spelled out, and 42action.org. Bob Sercosta says we're doing radio that is changing the world. He's the guy that started the Home Shopping Network, so we believe him. We love to believe him. Thank you so much, Bob. You might hear a telephone ringing, a dog barking, or an angel singing as we call in from our homes and offices around the world to cause this program. Now, Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and in the Lord's Prayer, a prayer means to go out into the world and get that which is yours, and always include a prayer for the celebration of our republic, for the United States, for America, and also a prayer for our animals. And please respect our animal friends as well as we respect each other. And if we respect our animal friends and ourselves and our communities and our nation, we support Christian values, and that's where the Ten Commandments came from, you guys, and that's what this country is founded on. So let's be doing the right thing. Let's be helping the future. Let's be kind to each other. If you want to ask a question while we're on the air, tweet Randy at Randy Shannon, and that's Randy with an I, so R-A-N-D-I at Randy Shannon. Follow me on Twitter at Val Kirkgaard 1, and that's with double A. A-I-R-K-G-A-A-R-D. You're listening to Waking Up in America with Dr. Val and Randy Shannon. Our guest today is Kernan Kett, and we're going to be having a conversation on biodomes with her, so it should be a lot of fun. She's got a whole bunch of interesting things that she's up to, but this is the one that I thought sounded the most like stepping into the future. And if you saw the dome on television, which I saw, I think, once, but it wasn't exactly the show I was. It was the technology I was interested in, not the rest of the show. So we're going to be talking about that today. And interesting enough, Kieran's mother was actually part of creating one of those. And there's other conversations of the future that just might slip in here. Randy, anything special going on for you today?
You know what? Super busy day.
Yes, me too.
And this was the first time, of course, the listeners can never see it, but I didn't make it to our radio show bridge until about 1 minute till we were to be on air.
and then she woke me up because my alarm was off. When did that happen last?
Gosh, over a year ago, at least.
More than that, like maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, remember we were interviewing Patricia Bragg, and I totally forgot.
Well, I was up until 3 a.m. actually, getting mm-hmm. stuff done because I've got this really incredibly busy stuff today. So I guess when I reset the alarm, I overdid it myself. And folks, just to report, I have hired a new webmaster. So those of you who say, your website's out of date, well, it won't be out of date next week. And Duncan's a really cool guy, so we'll be going, and he's going to actually help us put in some innovations too. So So we'll have some fun. I want to just point out that there's a lot of things happening in the world today. Actually, one of the things I was listening to really late this morning was that there are a lot of changes happening in the world, and we've got a lot of things that we talk about in the culture, and here on Waking Up in America, we've talked about the dinar, and we've talked about the cabal, and we've talked about all kinds of things of that nature. Well, there's a whole lot of stuff that's been happening, and I listened to part of it this morning, Randy. There's a whole list of things where people in the dark side are being told to straighten out or go to jail.
And great. Well, they should go to jail. Anybody else would go to jail.
Well, they're giving them a choice, okay, of putting down their swords and behaving well or being arrested. And some of them will be arrested, and some of them may not put down their swords willingly and may go someplace else. But they're actually, the phrase that they were using were, they would be taken off planet. I thought that was pretty interesting, taken off planet. You know, we think about, you know, putting somebody under the ground or getting rid of them or something like that. So there's a whole conversation when you look at the website, our website, and you look on the right hand of the page, you will see the Galactic Federation. So we keep acting like we're individuals who are alone in the universe. And the truth of the matter is that we probably wouldn't have been here still without our galactic neighbors. And if any of you think, you know, that Kirkgaard, she's just gone crazy. No, when we had Colleen Nidal here on the show maybe 2-3 years ago, and I said, Colleen, there's like 7 billion people on the planet. How many of them are extraterrestrials? And she goes, dear, humans are not indigenous to Earth. So let that settle in, okay? And then also check out the Sumerian texts, which talk about how the Earth was populated, and realize that we are all children of aliens. And it's time that we know that's true. And spaceship sightings, by the way, Randy, have gone up significantly, even recently, as like last week down here in Malibu. And this
that's
footage
interesting.
Is,
what do they look like?
They look
what are they doing?
Kind of like the particular one in Malibu looked pretty much like what they look like in the movies. You know, that looked like a flying disc. And then it had lights around the bottom of it. Those just showed up in Brazil all over the place. If you guys get on the internet and just put in UFO sightings, you can spend the next week looking at them. This is not something that's new. So, and by the way, we're not being invaded. That's what they
unless
do to sell
movie tickets.
Unless
it's by an enemy from within.
We've already been invaded, okay? There is no problem. And it is now extracting the invaders. I mean, the first time, Randy, when you heard about an underground railroad, you know about that one that's 1,500 miles an hour, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's truckers that have been interviewed that talk about it. People
have you seen
hang out
it?
With cameras and see them go in.
It isn't even just that. I've seen the picture of the tube. It's
mm-hmm.
they
I have seen that, yes.
Yeah, those things travel 1,500 miles an hour.
A lot of people don't understand that really is real. All you have to do is go to Denver and see the construction that's been going on for over 30 years. They're just constantly moving rock that they blew out, I guess, and that's how they were able to put the system in this country from end to end. It literally does exist. So.
And so do those awful pictures with people going around with gas masks carrying dead babies and stuff. These guys have a great idea of public art, let me tell you. One of the entrances to this is in the Washington Mall. There's a number of places in the U.S., and these tunnels travel all over the place. So I'm not going to go into more of that, because what I'm really interested in is the future that's being created. And I came across a new friend, Kiernan Kitt, this week, and we started talking about biodomes. And I said, do you want to be on the radio? And Kiernan said, this is your chance, Kiernan, to say yes. You there? Well, we had her a minute ago, didn't we?
Oh, hello. I had you on mute. I'm sorry. I'm on a lake right now, so there's boats traveling. There's chickens. I'm trying to keep the background noise quiet here, but I forgot to pull myself off mute. So, hi, ladies. How are you this morning?
Well, we're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and happy to have you.
Yeah,
good. I'm so happy to be here.
Boats
and chickens. That's a weird combo. Where are you?
No joke. I am I'm near Little Elm in near Dallas, Texas, and yes, we do have 6 dogs. One is very happily pregnant right now, and about 18 chickens that are very, very friendly, more friendly than the dogs, actually.
Nice.
We're acquiring. They're so much fun. I mean, fresh farm eggs every day. You can't go wrong.
No.
So your mom did something very interesting. Will you tell our listeners about the biosphere?
Of course. So, in general, the word biosphere is just another name for our world, our sphere. So the Biosphere 2 was a man-made creation that spreads out over about 3 acres, and it's just solid glass dome with 4 different environments, marshland, desert, rainforest, and a man-made ocean as well, which goes about like 30 feet deep. So it's, and you can imagine all of the technology that goes under it that manages all of the, you know, humidification and the airtight seals, and there's actually lungs, actually man-made lungs that breathe for the environment, which are about maybe an acre each themselves, and the entire roofs. I mean, if I could, you know, if you just look up Biosphere 2 right now online, I mean, I invite everyone to look at it right now just so you can kind of understand what I'm talking about. But basically, my stepmother was one of the scientists that was locked in this facility for 2 years and told, you know, hey, go survive in this dome. Here's some pigs, here's some chickens, there's some crops, there you go.
That is incredible.
What state is it located in?
It's in Tucson, Arizona, up north near Oracle.
Huh. What a funny...
In the middle of nowhere.
Exactly. I mean, I like the idea of Oracle. Putting a dome next to Oracle sounds very very mystical.
What is their purpose for it? Just to see what we can survive in? What is?
Well, believe it or not, the private funding was provided by the Bass family, which is oil and gas Texas money.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, these theater-type, real hippie kind of... what's the right word? It was almost like a hippie compound that decided that they were going to use this private funding and develop something that would test either abilities for us to create this on other planets or the moon, for us to be able to, you know, live if our own gases on this Earth are taken away, or what different causes from, you know, emissions and daily life and our daily footprint have on our environment. So... all of those 3 things combined, I mean, I'll tell you some insider secrets. Basically, you know, I became very good friends with all of my dad's friends. I mean, his wife was one of the scientists that was locked in the facility, but our good friend Jane and Tabor, who, you know, they're responsible for the rover that went to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
They're great friends of our family, and Jane ended up cutting off the tip of her finger with a rice plower, and so within the first month, they actually had to open up the facility and let her out and go to the hospital because they didn't have the right first aid to take care of her finger. So the facility was, I mean, breached within the first month. They tried to keep it under wraps. She got back in, and slowly but surely, I mean, without them knowing that cement, for example, leaches 7,000 tons of oxygen every year.
Wow.
You know, the entire foundation is made of cement, of course, without any of the enzymes that we now know. Like in our technologies now, we actually have the enzymes that protect this oxygen leachation from cement. So... basically, over time, you know, when any human body is put under that amount of stress and that amount of oxygen deprivation, you start to go crazy. So the scientists start stealing from each other, start, like, hoarding food.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's what happened in there?
Yeah.
This is, like, inside scoop here. I love this.
Yeah, it really is. And imagine, I mean, this is, you know, built 20 years ago. I'm 25, so I'm 5-6 years old at this time, like witnessing all of this and only able to see my stepmother through glass on the outside.
Oh, that is an interesting sensation, you know?
Very, very interesting, you know, and as a kid, like, you don't know that these things aren't normal. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, and my dad being a scuba dive instructor in general, I mean, me scuba diving at the age of 5 years old and being and growing up at the biosphere was just, I appreciate it every day now that I actually understand what it means.
Have they updated
so
the technology,
from each other,
have they,
sorry, go ahead.
Are they making another biosphere with updated technology?
Guess what? You say they, you mean am I? Are
oh,
we?
Yes, okay. All right. Are you?
Yes, we are. We actually, I've been designing the templates because, I mean, generally the entire public announced this operation as a fail, but no experiment is a fail, ever. I mean,
right.
you're learning exponential information that is going to take over the way we live in the future. I mean, for example, think about how our race survived or how our species survived through all of the other, you know, global warmings or earth resets, I call them. we went subterranean. We went underground. Our species went underground into caves. And so that's why, I mean, cavemen, you know, were able to survive throughout the ice ages and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, I'm creating an above ground and subterranean environment. For example, the king of Saudi Arabia is interested in this technology right now.
Oh, wow.
There's, you know, pretty big entities. You know, we're getting a sustainable headquarters, sustainable angel headquarters up in Colorado, and we'll be building the first subterranean biosphere. We're going to probably call it Biosphere 4. Because it is subterranean, it'll provide its own oxygen underground, which I have not seen any other bunker do. I mean, unless it's stored somewhere, you know, but there isn't actual providing of oxygen naturally in any of these bunkers. Now, with our technology and our drilling capabilities, we're able to provide endless amounts of water, oxygen, food, and UV light underground.
How are they doing the oxygen?
Basically, I mean, the oxygen comes from the plant, like the agriculture that'll be underground, and that's only been able to be sustained with UV light. You know, it's so funny, there's certain things that they discovered in the biosphere that there's hundreds of documents from the scientists that were never released because the general public was like, oh, well, they went crazy. You know, my stepmother developed a permanent tick in her eye from crystallization on our brain from oxygen deprivation.
Oh, wow.
Let me ask you a question, interrupt you for a minute. How long does it take for that oxygen deprivation to start to affect them?
Well, actually, almost immediately. I think it was really prominent after the first year because, you know, you don't, when they're building the glass, for example, it's thousands and thousands of little triangles of glass, and they didn't account that they were UV protected glass, UV anti-UV shields basically. So they put bees inside the environment. The bees were blind. The bees cannot see without UV light.
Oh my gosh. So there was just a lot of learning that went on in the first dome.
Yeah. So much learning. And with a closed environment, you really get to see, you know, what affects certain chemicals and certain things we take for granted, like our UV and our sun.
Okay, I've got a question for you, scientists. How do they handle the condensation on the inside of the dome?
So this is where our specialties really come in because, for example, I'm working with the Air-to-Water Foundation where literally the air is literally dehumidified into water, into thousands and thousands of gallons of water. So when now with this technology, I walked into the Biosphere 2 recently, about a couple of months ago, because my dad is still managing the place, and, took some associates on a tour and everything, and basically discovered that they have the largest air-to-water machine ever made, basically, because it's a dehumidifier. It dehumidifies the environment in the desert specifically. I mean, it pulls most of the moisture out of the desert and then brings it into the rainforest and the marshland and the ocean scenery. So there is literally millions of dollars worth of technology underneath this place that are managing air control. Basically, all of the airways and all of the hallways underneath the facility is just one big giant dehumidifier and water carrier.
Oh, question here. I'm thinking in terms of, you know, when I ran the hydrogen car drive, one of the things that happened was that I discovered that hydrogen burns really clean, and it one of its byproducts is it cleans the air, and it also produces water, drinkable water. So I was wondering if hydrogen would be used at all as part of the powering of the biodome.
Well, currently, no. Currently, only natural gas generators and solar panels are used for powering the place. But that is a very, very good option. The only problem with this biosphere, though, is it wouldn't be a perpetual source of energy, because without the UV light, you can't bring hydrogen back from back into the water. So it's not a perpetual energy. Right, and a new one, of course. And a new one where the glass isn't protecting you against the UV, or if we're actually supplying with UV lamps, then this process is probably capable.
Right, because that'd be really a clean way to generate it.
Seriously,
you'd be producing oxygen and water as well. I mean, I was astounded by this technology. We actually had the 5 in California was renamed the Hydrogen Highway, and then some of the people that had big investments in oil and gas and automobiles, the way they were being run and things of that nature, you know, got their humps up about it. I remember Shell Oil was one of them, and then they decided they were going to help, and then they disappeared their program. So it's like what we have to take here is we have to take a look at the future, and we have to be willing to let things change, okay? Like you were saying that your dad was showing people through this biodome. I can't wait to see the one that gets done that doesn't protect against UV, because that'll be the one that where people will be, you know, able to remain sane.
Remain sane and actually live.
Yeah.
And for example, let's say, okay, for example, Yellowstone, one of the hugest volcanoes just waiting to erupt underneath the Earth's surface, literally taking up over like half of the state of Wyoming and Idaho underneath is all lava. So let's say that thing goes off, or let's say that at least the top blows off and the entire, like, let's say the entire West Coast of the United States is completely saturated in ash. And for example, there were very distinct studies done on the bones of dinosaurs, because they found like extra growth of bone, and that was due to constant and long periods of time of inhalation of ash.
Uh-huh.
So they basically, most of them died from these illnesses, and then of course, you know, other comets and everything else that just didn't like their race.
I have to interrupt you at this point. It is such a great point. This is such a good cliffhanger. So you're listening to Waking Up in America.
No.
We're on the air with Randy Shannon. We're here with Kern and Kit, and she's about to tell us about the dinosaurs. But ha-ha, you have to actually check out what we're up to first and who supports us before we get to the dinosaur conversation. So Patricia and Paul Bragg's apple cider vinegar is the drink of Waking Up in America. And they put this together 114 years ago. And what would we do without the Braggs? And that's with a double G. And by the way, Randy, I'm in communication with Ted, so you tell him we're going to figure out a way to get Mr. Ted Whidden on our little list here, too, as well. So
I will.
He's an exciting new friend of Waking Up in America, and we'll just give you a Ted Whidden tip. Take a box of baking soda, dump it in the tub when really, 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 really hot, and then hop in and feel real better. And Ted's got a lot of other stuff for you, too. We have Kayani, which means strong medicine, and Kayani is Nitro FX, it's fish oil. These are separate things that come in the package, and the Kayani juice, which means strong medicine, and that stuff just is amazing. It comes from the Alaskan blueberry, which thrives in temperatures of minus 100 degrees. These are adaptogens. The things I'm mentioning are the products and people that I've liked best in the 29 years that I've been doing radio. So these aren't just the new kids on the block. These are people that have lasted well over time. Sir Jason Winter tea builds your immune system, and not only does it come as regular old tea, it comes as peach tea, which is one of my absolute favorites. So I can be sitting there drinking a glass of peach tea, and the whole time my immune system is getting stronger. Protandin, it helps with arthritis. I can testify to that personally. My girlfriend tried it out found out about it through horses. She has horses. There's just all kinds of stuff that isn't part of natural aging, and that's why I created the project Happily 200. So go to wakingupinamerica.com/200/, and discover that people have the possibility of living to be 200 years old. And whether you live to be that old or not, it's a quality of life conversation. Check it out. We're looking for people to be benefactors on it. We're looking to buy radio station airtime around the world. We're looking to spread the word, create billboards, and invite the population of planet Earth and anybody else that wants to join us to Happily 200. These are different products that are suggested. We're actually creating a resource directory for that. So members of our Happily 200 Club will actually be able to suggest people for our resource directory. We have coningcompany.com. And that's coningcompany.com, and that cleans your eustachian tubes. This 5,000-year-old process is an amazing thing, so check it out at coningcompany.com. And, of course, one of the most amazing of all, Randy, is Randy Shannon's 42action.org, OMG. Not OMG, just .org. OMG is, oh, my God, the work she's been doing.
Give
them a line or two on it, kiddo.
Well, we are powerhouse and everybody into what's called the private, a very protected state to be in. And we've been working on the blind trust. We take everything into consideration. So we're doing the blind trust, getting people protected. We've had Teddy Whitten, which you just mentioned, on. And by the way, I don't use baking soda. You got to get the book and then see what really to use. And
I use baking soda because it's easy.
Yeah. His website is thebraincan.com, and get the book. Definitely get the book. And so we're talking about the private and getting the health in line as well. So very important what we do over there.
I have a brilliant idea.
What's that?
I have an extra autographed Teddy Whitten book.
You do?
I do. We could make it available to one of our listeners. You send me an email at val@wakingupinamerica.com, and you say, I want that book in the title bar. Send me an email, Michael. Send me an email. Don't let Mike do it first. He's going to have to wait till he gets off the air. Send me an email. I actually have two copies. We'll let him have one, too. If he sends me an email...
All right, we got two copies going on the screen for the 99 email.
You know what? These books need to get into the Biosphere 4.
Let me tell you what else. One of his books has taken off with the head of Pegasus Airlines.
Are they reading it?
Uh-huh. Another one of his books is on its way to China, left yesterday.
With
an executive over in China. So, what can I tell you? It's just happening the way it's happening. Thank you, Teddy. You are very funny. He's the guest who made me laugh the most and continues to make me laugh. When he writes me emails and stuff, he just puts me into the funniest laughing space. And so he's laughed himself right into Waking Up in America now. While you're busy laughing and doing all this good stuff, get the Aqua Chi machine and really clean up it pulls toxins out of your body. That's over there, too, and it's right there with the DNA telomere conversation. So, and there's a little video on the DNA. While you're doing all this, pick up some Ambiental Salsa at Ralph's and also at Kroger's, I believe it's there, too. And go to the Destination Restaurant that's in Albuquerque. And we've still got that meal waiting for us, guys, so we've got to get our butts over there. And I talked with Rod just yesterday of Marketing with the Stars. He puts out 80,000 emails really at a reasonable price on any on you know on a appropriate subjects to the future, I'd have to say. Ross from another solar system or another planet, so he says, and I love having him as an advertiser. It's all fun. What can I tell you? DrValerie.com, once again, I give complimentary half-hour sessions of the work that I do, and if you have any trauma in your body or your field from the past, if you've been in an abusive relationship, if you had a drunken parent, if you had ancestors that were misbehaving and it's still acting in your DNA, we can actually remove that by telephone, okay? So it's Noah's problema. I'll show you sometime, Kernan.
I would love it.
I do the whole thing through body sensation because every trauma, whether it's from this generation or a previous generation, it shows up like a pressure or tension in your field or your body.
Oh, my entire back is locked up almost every day because of apparent emotional trauma.
Oh,
and
dear.
For a long
now
time,
see
it
how it all works?
It was only one doctor that was actually able to tell me that, too. You know, after going to a chiropractor, etc.
All miracle,
et
okay,
so
I tell
excited.
You.
This is going to be a beautiful relationship, Valerie.
It was, we started talking to each other, Randy, and mm-hmm. It was like we couldn't stop talking. We were just so cute.
Well, she's so interesting. I mean, of course, you are too, Val. I get to talk to you every day. She's fascinating. I want to hear all these, like, golden nugget things, and I'm sure of it that Teddy Whitten's book would help your back trauma.
I would love
that.
Yeah,
the whole thing. 100%. I'm telling you, everything that's here, I did not mention one thing that you actually wouldn't be interested in if you took a look at it. This is the culmination of 29 years of being on the radio and having extraordinary people show up on the radio. But we cannot leave those dinosaurs out there coughing, okay? With the ash.
I thought you were talking about my chicken. I thought you could hear the chicken in there.
Not about your chicken. But here's the deal. You know, what you're saying about the dinosaurs is right, and what I heard about the Earth changes from, mm-hmm. I do have a few friends that say they're from other places. They said that exactly what you were talking about. It's the ash, okay? Have you ever done remote viewing, Kernan?
I have not, but you have shed some light on it for me, and I am more than intrigued.
Okay, well, you'd like it very much, and part of one of the things they talk about, one of the reasons why when the Earth changes start to happen, that there's only a few safe places on Earth, they say, part mm-hmm. of the reason is because of the dust, the dust and the ash, and they don't have the biodomes figured into the future. And so this biodome circumstance would totally take care of that ash issue.
It really would. And, I mean, regardless of what people might think that they're safe with, you know, I see these amazing, amazing underground communities, for example, in Australia, where, you know, the northern parts of Australia where it is just too hot to be outside to even have a business outside, there's these entire underground communities, but they're still dependent on outside oxygen, and they're not growing their own. I mean, some people are growing their own food and being sustainable, but most of the time they're completely dependent on our outside environment for air.
Tell us about one of those communities. Like when you say complete underground communities, are we talking about small towns or
large towns? You know, I'll have to look it up while I'm talking to you. But in Australia, there is this underground community, literally where you're looking across the terrain, and it just looks like a flat, desertous, you know, semi-hilly kind of environment. But then you notice and you look closely and you see all these stems, all these ventilation tubes sticking out of the ground all over the place.
Huh.
And
well, you know,
and there's bars,
Colorado.
There's restaurants,
okay.
There's bars, restaurants,
inside,
housing, underground.
Oh,
you're in Colorado,
wow.
Okay? And you've got this in Colorado, whether you know it or not.
Oh, I believe it.
There's a mountain in Colorado that was, my brother-in-law was a Green Beret, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he told me about a mountain in Colorado that actually splits open, and they go inside, and they've got three-story buildings inside and everything. They've got an entire military city inside of that mountain, and the buildings all float on, like, springs and stuff if there's earthquakes.
Unreal.
So I'd love to have you check out Colorado, too, and see what you can find out.
The only thing I've heard about Colorado, for example, I mean, I know we're all into conspiracy and truth, But one of the largest Illuminati bunkers is apparently in Colorado. And, you know, none of us apparently really know what Illuminati is, but it's still good to know that there's an entire underground bunker that takes up, I think, half of the city or
right, that's from the Denver airport that you get to it.
Well, I'm not trying to give away too many secrets here, but it's
it's not a secret. We've talked about it on air.
Okay,
the Denver
okay.
airport is one of the accesses to it. People first were horrified when they saw the murals on the wall, and they started investigating. And I think we even had somebody on here a few years back ago about the Denver airport. This stuff is secret to a lot of people and not secret to a lot of other people. That's why we do Waking Up in America, and that's why we're privately produced, because when we tell you about our sponsors and such, they're people that we like. Some of those sponsors contribute to us. Some of them don't. These are products and people that want to know what the truth is. The Denver airport is considered one of the most evil places in the world.
I know. Isn't that unreal? Like, I'm originally from Tucson, Arizona, and there's, like, these huge Satanistic rituals, like, publicly being displayed out of Phoenix, right? And then I'm about to be in Colorado, and I find out that Denver is one of the most Satanistic places in the U.S. I'm like, great.
If you stay at the Marriott like I did, you get to look out your window at that scary-looking dark blue horse that they light up with
Lucifer.
Red eyes.
It's called Lucifer. It killed its owner.
Yes.
What? Yeah, it's a statue. Yeah, it fell on him, one of his legs, this giant blue horse with red glowing eyes that the town called the Lucifer literally killed its maker.
I'm sorry, but isn't that rather just?
It is just.
Maybe he was still good. He didn't know what he was building. Who knows?
No. It's very funny that you guys should say this, because I was reading this list of things that had happened where people had said there is no God, or one of them had to do with this person telling the kids not to go out in the car because they were too drunk and they should take God with them. And they said, well, God can get in the trunk. And then there was a terrible car accident, and the whole car was destroyed except for the trunk. I mean, it's like,
oh my goodness,
all these crazy messages all over the place. It's like, if people don't know about this stuff, it's because we're not the only people on the radio talking about this stuff.
They can't blame us. I mean, it's literally all over YouTube.
It's about blaming
everywhere.
Us. This is why I'm on the Voice America Network. This is why Jess Spinard, who is our executive producer, gets a big cheer. You don't know Jess Spinard. I actually left a message for him yesterday, Randy, to update him on some of this stuff. Jess Spinard has put together the largest internet radio broadcasting in the world. We have listeners in Australia, in Russia, in France, and all over the place because of what Jeff Spinard and Nathan Jett did. Nathan Jett was a producer for years, and now he's working for a charitable organization. There's many, many, many people. Just because you listen to ABC or KFI or Channel 2 or whatever it is, those are bought and paid for stations, and they put on the air what they're told to put on the air. There's a guy in New York that puts our show on. His name is John Young, and his radio is totally gospel. And it's, in my case with John, it's totally karmic stuff, and we've been friends for absolutely years. And that guy knows how to make little radio stations pop up like mushrooms all over the place. So there's a network of people. And Randy and I were both very involved in the Republic for the United States of America. And a friend yesterday said, why don't you take it off your answering machine? I said, because we exist in the Republic for the United States of America, and the rest of it is just a darn smokescreen. So this biodome thing is so exciting to me, and I think to you too, Randy. Have you got any more questions, or what's your next question you want to ask her about?
Yeah, well, I want to know that first of all, how big is it this time? And then the oxygen part, the loss of the oxygen is under control now, they think, or... You know, where are they at with it? I realize they have the plants, and then they've got the UV lights. Is it still concreted in, or are you using the Earth's rock and the atmosphere that's down below the ground? What's the base?
Don't misunderstand what I've told you. What we're going to do with the next biosphere versus what is still there now. So
right.
Still there now, there are no UV lamps, It's an open facility, and the University of Arizona bought it from Columbia University, and it's actually open now to students, and students are doing different research techniques on the property. So basically, these giant lungs can bring in oxygen, suck out carbon monoxide. They can bring in humidity. They can tamper with things to see what different environmental issues can do to plants and our, you know, in our air, basically. So, for example, this foundation still has not been taken care of, but it's an open facility now. It's not a closed environment, so they're not too worried about it. But so basically, it's just kind of an open facility for tourists and for students to be able to learn about where they went wrong and where we go wrong with our planet. So basically, with this, the current facility, Biosphere 2, is about 3 acres, not including the added lungs that were added later on to be able to rush air in and out. But the new facility, for example, you know, you've heard of Earthships, you've heard of sustainable
right.
homes. So basically, these homes, I mean, with our combined technology, with our different affiliations, we literally are combining everything that we can think of that counteracts where they went wrong with the Biosphere 2. So we have the enzymes and we have the right foundations that don't allow any leaks, leachation of oxygen. We have the UV lamps that provide enough energy to sustain underground life. We have... basically, I mean, a never-ending amount of options. So one church at a time, we're doing transformations with the original foundation, and we're just allowing them to create their own energy, their own water from thin air, and their own food, and, you know, providing food for farmers markets with vertical permaculture farms, et cetera.
Yeah, I love those things. I think they're so cool. I got a picture of one on my refrigerator.
It's the future. It's the future.
Let me quickly ask you, when do you expect Biodome 3 to be started?
Well, it won't. For example, in Colorado, we're going. It's a 94-acre ranch, and on half of that, we're going to be building a Sustainable Angel headquarters, which is going to be the next Biosphere 3, basically, but more livable. So it's going to have its subterranean environment underneath ground as well as above ground. So I'd say that the entire, it'll probably take up about 5 acres.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
how do they make the glass dome? I mean, is it pieces of glass? Or
it is unreal. It's literally thousands and thousands of triangles of glass and metal framework that holds each of those pieces. So literally, if you look at any videos or check it out online, you can see that the inner makeup is like a jungle gym of metal pieces. And as a kid, believe it or not, I mean, my dad didn't know, but I was literally like climbing 50 feet of jungle gym.
He would have had a heart attack if he'd seen
Oh,
you.
Yeah. I told him just recently when I saw him a couple of months ago, and I said, Dad, you see that this four-story... there's literally a library penthouse at the top of this biosphere, and that's like the highest part of the building, and it's about 4 or 5 stories tall. And I pointed to the top of the library and said, Dad, you see that point way up there? Yeah. Well, my friend and I used to climb up all the way to the top.
So right now it's being funded by who? You mentioned the Saudis. And you mentioned oil and gas money. Who actually is all the same?
So the original funder, yes, was Ed Bass and the Bass family, who's Texas Oil Money. Right now, it just got purchased a few years ago by the University of Arizona. So now they're funding it and they're keeping it up. And their electricity bills are still out of this roof because, you know, natural gas generators only go so far when they're not using. You know, not using as much natural gas as you'd think. I mean, they're not having to heat the place
see,
as much.
Hydrogen would be a natural because we ran the hydrogen cars through batteries, and the batteries mm-hmm. could be solar powered. So there would be no cost.
Exactly. I mean, they're still, University of Arizona owns it right now, but our goal is to team up with them to be able to combine technologies and obviously to share credit. We're not trying to take their technology and run. Obviously, my dad manages the place. And
no, I loved working with Dennis Weaver because anytime we'd be standing anywhere, somebody would come up and bring a technology to him. for instance, there were technologies of which when you drive copper pipes into the ground, it produces electricity. There's all kinds of stuff that doesn't take oil and gas to produce, and it's clean.
This is unreal. I mean, it's not finalized technology, but currently we're working on ways to be actually be able to take electricity from lightning.
There you go.
Neat.
Yeah, that's it was like a post, right?
Yeah, and obviously I can't give any hints because this is life-changing.
Actually, I had heard about some of this in 2001, so...
Well, it's finally happening.
Yeah, it's finally happening, and that's... But see, if you want to take a look, go back to Tesla. I mean, let's not even just talk 2001. Tesla technology, do you remember what year that came out?
1996 or so?
Oh, no, it's like 1906 or 1916.
What?
Yes, Tesla technology. I'm not talking the car, babe. I'm talking about the guy that created it. This technology was built over 100 years ago, and it was meant to give the world free electricity, and it's very clean electricity. Check up Nikola Tesla. It's awesome stuff. So it's like, I don't know why people act so secretive about it. We're finally getting the powers released from conversations that are over 110 years old.
I mean, yeah, and seriously, you want to talk about UFO technology. I mean, technology. Mm-hmm.
And
it's
you can
been
go
around
back
for
to,
ages.
Well, they were way out there in the desert doing this biosphere. Did they see all of that through all the windows?
The aliens or
anything. Anything.
Did anyone see it? Well, I mean, it wasn't a hidden project. I mean, it is in the middle of nowhere, but, I mean, Columbia University backed it originally as well. So, I mean, the way you'd think, I mean, you'd think if there's millions of dollars, it's literally millions of dollars because it was all trial and error. So there's millions of dollars in the biosphere, too. And so now it doesn't cost nearly as much because we know all the trial and errors. So thank you, Ed Bass, and your family for funding it and
appreciate
your technology. Yes. Actually, funny enough, my affiliates are good friends with their family and they're actually close by. So it's really weird how things develop in life.
Yeah, totally.
So will
you
be moving to Colorado once that one gets opened?
We're developing and I'm actually working on the layout. I was working on it before you actually called, actually. It's a huge, huge development. I mean, literally, get this, the house that's currently on it, that's currently on the land that we'll be staying in during the development, is a 9-bedroom, 5-bath Mormon compound.
Oh.
The Mormons would love this.
They did love it, and
Mormons,
they had to
Mormons
abandon
totally
it
love this.
Polygamy is illegal in Colorado.
Well, they're not just loving it because it's polygamy. Mormons are amazing when it comes to preparing for the future. If you go visit a Mormon household, and there are very few Mormons that are
course.
Into polygamy,
by the way. Oh, of
course.
I love Mormons. And
they have
certain
rooms.
There's certain boundaries that you cross when you have, for example, this family was kicked out of this property. I did a lot of background research, and it's actually really interesting. But basically, the head leader of their compound is in prison for life because they were having 14-year-old minors marry their own cousins.
Well, let's not go off into that because that's a subset. No, seriously. First of all, it's about 5 minutes before the show is over. Not even that long.
Oh no.
And secondly, that's a very
Mormons.
Small percentage
of
Mormons.
Yes.
It's a very small percentage, and I don't really want to get distracted from the 97% that's not what they're doing.
Of course. No, I have many Mormon friends, and I've been to Mormon churches, and I love them. I love them, but, you know.
I'm just saying, you got about a minute here, or two max, to say your final things on the show, and let's not have it be on that, okay?
So No problem.
In your wrapping up, mm-hmm. how would you like to wrap up this conversation, just for today, because it's totally intriguing, but how would you like to wrap up this conversation for today?
Well, my suggestion... I mean, I, for one, am not the only person, and my affiliates are not the only people that can do this and, you know, subsede our species by living underground. Now, that is my main recommendation for people to really, really pay attention to these technologies. If you'd like to keep up with sustainableangels.com, There is a component to donate, because all of your donations go towards, you know, bettering our future and providing water to families that cannot get clean water because their water tables are contaminated, et cetera, et cetera. Sustainable Angels is a great, great program, and it's a nonprofit. Basically, I want everyone that's listening to do their part when it comes to cutting down emissions, being positive on the effort of being sustainable. Even large cities like Los Angeles are more than capable of being off the grid, as long as everyone is doing their part by growing their own food, providing their own electricity, being active members in society, and do not commit any crimes. And that is all I have to say.
That's totally great. And just as a comment from me, Hamburg, Germany, and a number of the European towns have been running hydrogen buses for years, and those buses actually clean the city. Randy, what are your closing words?
Well, just first of all, what an honor to meet you. A lot of great information. I want to totally pick your brain. Going to definitely talk to you outside of the show.
I would love to. Have me on again anytime.
That sounds great. And check out the Brain Can when you get a chance, thebraincan.com, because I think that, because he had brain damage and brain injury. And I think that the whole oxygen thing with his process, what's in his book, might actually be something that they really do need when they're in there. So,
I was
communicating to him. He said, I definitely want to talk to her. So,
while we
were on air.
That's great. Mm-hmm. We'll give you the contact information for that. Mike, how much time do we have left? Come on, buddy. 70 seconds. Okay.
Well, let's end with a lovely prayer, and thank you. I for one, thank you, God, so much for introducing beautiful people like Randy and Valerie into my life, so that we can combine our forces and better the lives of our community and better the lives of aliens and any spiritual beings. And
I also want to say thank you, Chris Sanders, for giving me Kiernan's telephone number. You're an extraordinary guy, and I appreciate the work that you do. This program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Intergalactic Media, our radio partners, CloningCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy, John Denver, Tippi Hedren, Carol Channing, Deepak Chopra, Ed Asner, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams, Admiral Eugene, Carol, Jane Goodall, Jonathan Granoff, 42action.org, DrValerie.com, and doctors all spelled out. Paul C. Bragg for leaving your daughter, Patricia, to continue with us. Jess Bernard, Nathan Jett, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackman, our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Mary Flynn, Ron Simon, great kudos to Ron Hayes, who is returning with us shortly, to John Young at Totally Gospel. Big thanks to all of our airtime and friendship for our over the years. A big thanks to our webmaster. We've got a new one, Duncan. And do a misfit today. Give someone a boost. Be kind. Just be kind. And thanks for listening.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through, now your heart is open.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.